recommendations for change and just keep waiting and hoping. That people apply for, you know, Sam's able to get out and recruit the best he can and get somebody, and Esmeralda can help get somebody. The other is make a recommendation to the council to adjust the membership. And so whether that is maybe one NH student and then a member of, an at-large member, or a student maybe that's still active in college. You know, what, it's your guys' committee, but again, this is at the council discretion because this is under resolution, so they would have to change it.
Personally, I think it's important to keep two students on if at all possible.
No, I was thinking, could we add an at-large or make maybe the committee a bigger?
What I was thinking about, and Sam, maybe you know this, but could Melinda Dye, the Aspire kids that she works with, need that have an interest in law enforcement or something like this? Make a direct contact with her and see if there are students in the Aspire Center that would be interested?
Yeah, maybe. She could be a person to talk to. I know Patty also talked to Samantha Murphy, who has pretty much all the students at the school for some class and knows them pretty well. So I could talk, and I have her for English, so I could talk to her like even tomorrow and just ask her, like, who do you know? And she also teaches government, I believe, so perfect opportunity to see, like, oh, who's really interested in this type of thing. So I can talk to her.
The only idea I had, I guess.
I think it's important to have two students and two Latinx members also, I think. I mean, if at all possible, but I also understand if nobody's applying.
Maybe we could change the one of the Latinx positions to BIPOC. So it could be any person of color.
I think I can start sending maybe more emails to the Latinx community and see if I can get another one.
Okay.
So then, so if you want this to go to council, you ultimately have to agree, make a vote, make a recommendation, motion, things like that, and then through the staff report, I would communicate, you know, what it is you guys want, require, things like that. Or it sounds like maybe wait another month to see, are you able to get some traction and find some interest with the current makeup?
Let me try with Ms. Murphy.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to do that too.
Okay.
Wait another month and see.
So let it.
You know, I guess in looking at it, when I was looking, you know, one of the questions that does come up was, you know, Sam's graduating this year, and the, you know, minute that he gets his diploma, is he no longer eligible to be a member because he's technically not an NHS student? It doesn't really define it in there. You could imply it, you could interpret it. I don't know if we want to clear that up, or, you know, does it ride out through the summer, or is there a grace period? I don't know the answer to that, because I think we just kind of took for granted that we put two students, not really thinking they won't be students forever.
I would think until the student's no longer a high school student, meaning if they've graduated, until they're off in college, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, technically,
that's just a couple, like, 3 months to
June 10th at 7 p.m.
Right, I'm not a high school student.
Sam's a free man, so.
Right. In more ways than one.
If you only knew. Stay back.
Well, I have a question on the ones that.
How we say that in chest.
We didn't fit qualifications. You said there were some people who applied.
We had two that have actually filled out applications and one that has come in person. Or is one of the applications the in person the same person?
Same person.
Oh, same person. But again, I think as a high school student ready to graduate, so if, you know, voted in next month, they would be here for, well, they would 12 days or something like that. So
it seems a shame that if someone is coming expressing interest that we don't find a place for them in a committee that needs members. And so do we adjust what the call them?
I think that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Maybe an at-large.
That seems reasonable.
Anybody
to me.
Can fill that.
Right.
I mean, the important part, too, is that they want diversity. And
right.
So I see that as being, you know, very important also. So it's a matter of potentially of how we advertise, maybe, and maybe something else that we can do to get more interest.
Mm-hmm. Somehow we need to get more people coming to these meetings. We need that thing full.
I brought brochures on the police advisory committee.
Oh, good.
Here, so Esmeralda and Sam, please be sure to take, you can take them all. I can get them reprinted.
Okay. Oh, good.
Great.
And the city does send out periodic press releases. We have a vacancy on this committee, things like that. You guys probably see those. But again, I think it's ultimately the intent or the goal was that committee members would then go to the groups of the community they represent to encourage attending and providing input or new members or, you know,
well,
things like that.
That's what I, because I have two applicants, it would be great. But I forgot, I think I mentioned that to you. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one. Hate to lose that.
Because they'll find something else.
Yeah.
They'll put their time somewhere else.
So to have maybe that at large or something. Mm-hmm.
And you could increase membership, again, and you could recommend. You know, recommend, but again, that also just increases your quorum.
Right.
And, you know, they, I think all committees are odd for a reason because, you know, there's a Hatfield and McCoy moment. There's always a tiebreaker.
I would say give Esmeralda and I one month to see if we can get anybody, and then if we can't, then I think maybe it would be okay. Especially because soon there's going to be two open
right.
student spots. So I think it would be fine to maybe talk about it again and see if we want to switch up the breakdown.
So would at large make us even? Or
that would be, yeah, because we have 11. Yeah, we have 11
spots
slated.
Mm-hmm. You could have two at
large. Two
at-large.
Right.
There's two applicants, and Cole
yeah.
said you had a couple other ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say one more month and then talk about it again if there's no one else.
Then, Sam, are you willing to go into either Miss Murphy's class or
Carberry's
class and tell them what a great time you've had?
Yeah, for sure.
What an opportunity.
Coffee and donuts are provided.
Yeah. Pizza.
Well, and it's, you know, anybody that's looking, as Sam knows, recently going through all the scholarship stuff, and, you know, there's a community engagement piece to just about everything. And, you know, being a part of a committee.
And
really?
I wrote my Common App personal essay about this, so.
Perfect.
Looks good, too.
Yeah, even if, you know, we get a senior that we get 1 year out of, it's still, it's
right.
it's
yeah.
input
oh,
from a different
important.
Perspective.
And it's
yeah.
a benefit
really
for that work.
Yeah.
Okay, so no recommendations to the council. Let
this time.
Sam and Esmeralda do their magic, and hopefully we'll get flooded with some applicants.
I'm sure we will.
Don't have to turn people away. You don't have to feel bad. Tell somebody no.
Okay. Uh-oh, action plan update. So
work in progress.
It's a work in progress. Neither Rick nor I did our homework really on it.
It's a big project.
It is, and it is intended to be a work in progress, so... One thing I'd like to see us do at some point is get some momentum on the next thing. Because, you know, Sam's leaving us and we still have our Comet type program in the works. It's gonna take a while. I'd love to see us getting started on something else that's in our action plan. You know, get some momentum, do something. And that's up to us, you guys, what that might look like. I know we talked at City Council about the changing the 911, and David Allen said, oh, well, we've already researched that, but I don't want that to put an end to the discussion. I think we could research, too, and see if it's even a possibility. I hate to be shut down by a person saying, well, we already researched that, don't bother. That's what I got from him. So, I mean, if we wanted to go ahead with that one and others, or...
I think one of the things that was discussed a few months, meetings ago, was, you know, even in lieu of that, which is a multi-million dollar project and a huge undertaking, is reaching out to the community groups that you represent and, you know, what are the complaints? And then, you know, being able to put all those in one place and invite Willamette Valley over for this group to say, these are the complaints that we've heard. And, you know, again, it's, we're a user agency, so we can make recommendations and things like that. But, you know, if I have an advisory group that's saying, we'd really like to see this, you know, that's my job to, you know, to send that in. And so that could be an action item at a smaller level that doesn't have as much of a financial impact.
So can we do that? I think that's a great idea to go back to our, you know, the people that we kind of represent on this committee and find out any complaints or pros or cons of the current system.
I think unless you have called 911 or have called dispatch to report anything, it's difficult to have an opinion because you haven't gone through it. You haven't gone through and had that experience. You know, or even somebody that is non-English speaking, while they have resources, you know, were they good enough for somebody that speaks Spanish to be able to get their point across? And, you know, because I know we struggle if we don't have an interpreter readily available.
And just thinking ahead too, with the public forum that you and the sheriff are going to be doing, that might be, you know, a topic area for them, for people that to discuss.
Right.
A good idea from a large group of people.
Just a thought. Just a thought.
Great thought.
And it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So are we looking for different information than was obtained through the survey?
So I don't think the survey really captured much with dispatch. That was more of the direct relationship or feeling with the police department versus how were you treated by calling 911? Have you ever called 911? When you called, did somebody show up? You know, because those are complaints we sometimes get. I called for a police officer and you never showed up. Those are concerning.
Would your officers be able to give us feedback on their personal experiences? I mean, if it's a problem going up to you and coming to us, I think we need to find out from them. But if there are issues, tell us what the issues are.
I think some, it's, you know, one of those things we have to be careful about in a public forum of discussing things like that. So we have an internal process. If, you know, we have routine, wasn't an isolated one-time event versus this is a continual, all of our officers are facing this issue. I can tell you Willamette Valley supervisors are really good. If I send them this happened on this date, this was the time, this was the event, they research it, they get back to us. Sorry this happened, this was a training issue, we fixed it, it won't happen, which is what we want. You know, it's already occurred. Or, you know, we're gonna relook at our policy on how we handle this. And so when you call dispatch, and they dispatch for a ton of agencies, you know, and like seven, I don't know, I don't even know the number, it's a lot. And so if you call in your neighbor's dog is barking, to Newport, they'll handle it one way. If you live in Lincoln County and you call in a barking dog, they turn the page, how does Lincoln County want it handled? If you live in Dallas, Oregon, how do they want it? So it's not all the same. So it's not, you call the police, you get the same response. It is agency defined. Certain things overlap, you know, but certain things specific to an area, you know, Newport Police, we still respond to everything. If you call, you'll see or talk to an officer. Certain agencies won't. They're like, I'm sorry, you know, go to this website, fill out this form. You're not going to talk to an officer. And that's based on geographical location, a variety of factors. So I feel pretty good when we have a complaint that they handle them. But if we're looking at, you know, any kind of global complaints or our community saying these are the problems that we've had, and you know, they need to hear those. Because those don't come to us that often. Yeah. We get them when we show up on scene,
yeah,
and they offer their opinion. but we're there to deal with their problem and not how was their customer service, you know, when they called 911.
How nice were they in getting us here? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we don't ask that. Yeah. we're here now. What can we do for you?
Yeah. Okay. That explains it.
So what would that look like then to get more public information? How could we do that?
Well, I think it's, you know, you got to look at the venues of how does this community communicate with public, you know, so the city, we write press releases, you know, the fact that we have ultimately 11 members is you have, each have a bunch of constituents and friends and people and colleagues, you know, that you can reach out to and be that conduit to, you know, provide information, come in and provide feedback. You know, we're going to advertise a public meeting specifically on, we want to hear your feedback on dispatch. It's your, again, this is however, you know, how do you want to obtain the information? How much do you want to get? What's your goal? You know, do we just want to complain or are we looking for some, maybe some action items on, and maybe dispatch could help educate the public too. This is why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. I can do that to a little bit, but I'm not a dispatcher. And so I have the same question. I'm like, geez, why do you do this? You know, they have procedures. They go to training. You know, they do best practice stuff. They're not winging it.
Do they ever come over here?
They would. I mean, I know we've had it before where you might have been on the council when dispatch came over because there was quite a few complaints from the public going, geez, I don't want to call the police ever again.
Right.
And so I know the director came over here, addressed the council, listened to everybody, and, you know, didn't just listen and leave, but, you know, made some changes and adjustments.
How would you grade them now? C minus?
I guess I'm one of the few that got to be here with the old dispatch when we had our own dispatch center.
Right, exactly.
The transition was terrible because we were used to this and got this. And we've become accustomed to a lot of it. And a lot of our staff, this is all they know. But we're also aware of the fact they're shorthanded like we are. You know, they don't have as many people sitting at a console as they'd like. You know, there's times when our officers are talking to dispatch and they say, stand by, I'm on a 911. And you can't talk to an officer and the phone at the same time. That's really frustrating. But again, it's because they don't have the staff. It's not because they don't feel like answering the phone. So
a problem like that may not go away here, though, because of staff either. Because how are you going to, how do you always have staff to cover something like
we
that?
We can't control staffing. And so, you know, but are there things with it as far as customer service wise or maybe the education of, you know, this is why we ask so many questions. And, you know, you don't know, but this is what's going on in the background while we're talking to you. You know, there's a lot of action happening the minute you call. But on your end, you're just like, I'm just trying to report a crash. Why am I getting the third degree?
That's exactly what happened to me when I called.
Right. And they can explain that better. They can, you know, hey, this is our procedure. This is what happens. And they've got great staff over there. Their leadership's really good. They've just kind of changed where the board historic. So there's an advisory board, which I'm a member of. And then pretty much each agency head from each department is an advisory board. And so we vote and we talk about, we'd like this changed and we approve their budget. And then there's a user board, which the lieutenant's part of, which is those day-to-day operations of how things work. And then historically, the head of the advisory board was the Salem police chief, and it's now switched to the Salem fire chief. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fire and police always look at things just a little bit different. But they have a new director, they have new supervisors, they have, you know, so it might be a good time because maybe some of them aren't aware of stuff. And so, you know, if you want in a future meeting, at least for them to come over so you guys can talk and I can give them you know, here's kind of stuff our people would like to know. They can at least provide some answers, and then you could do maybe that initial one before there's, well, we've got these 50 complaints.
Yeah, right. What do you guys think?
It's up to you.
For me, it would be helpful to have more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. To have a baseline of starting here and then, you know, go forward.
Yeah, be aware of what the issues are before we.
Because I don't know exactly what the issues are. Maybe it's working perfectly. I don't know. I just don't know.
And I get
what the problems are.
I get their monthly statistics, and you would be absolutely astonished how many times their phone rings.
How many times they what?
Their phone rings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just between a fire call, a medical call, a police emergency, or whatever, they're busy. And, you know, they have a very smart system. It tells you how long did you, you know, if somebody calls 911, how long until it was picked up? They can tell you to the millisecond. They can tell you what their average is. They can tell you what was the hold time, what was the wait time. They can break it down by area, you know, things like that. So they can provide a lot of information. And I guarantee you'll have some sticker shock or shell shock. You'll go, wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe someone can or maybe you can, as far as a little bit of the history, as far as, okay, it was here at one point and then it changed. So why did it change? Mm-hmm. And what were the, obviously, it must have had some issues that it went to more regional than local.
Yeah.
And what are those hurdles?
Been hurdles for 15 years.
You know, remote rules. My brain is thinking, isn't it time? It is time for the farmer's market. And I thought that we had talked about potentially having a booth there. Was that something that we couldn't do because of the funding or something?
Well, it's up to Farmers Market. It's okay. It's their event. So they have a special event permit, so they ultimately control it.
Gotcha.
And so if you wanted to have a booth there, you'd have to reach out to them and say, here's what we'd like, and here's what we're going to do.
Anybody have a relationship with that person?
I don't even know who it is now.
No, we did with a gentleman who just ran it, but he just retired. So, yeah.
I can get the contact information and at least forward it to Mindy, and you can decide if you want to do that.
Real easy to deal with.
I'd be willing to stand at a booth somewhere and ask, hey, have you ever called 911? Let me get some random information from you and just collect information. No names, no phone numbers, just what happened, and turn it over. Now, is there any value to that? Because somebody could just come up and start rattling off stuff. So I don't know how random or how unidentifying it can be, but.
Honey, what, just help me. How would that be different than what our survey was? So we'd just be,
well, that's,
it'd be just an enhancement to that?
Also, part of my question is, we already have that data. We already have what that is. But my understanding is it's what their contact was with dispatch. Is that on the survey?
Okay.
I don't
know. It was specifically to the Newport Police.
Okay. So if dispatch is something,
yes.
How do we get the information? We all have constituents. I bet they all go to the farmer's market at least once. And so being there and visible and saying, hey, that's just a thought. I mean, that's my little pea-sized brain working.
Or if you just want to start with an overview, have their director or one of their supervisors come over and give you a 10,000 foot view of here's what we do, here's how we do it.
Does anyone else besides the chief and I been in a dispatch center and sit there for hours?
No.
It was a small one, but it was very, very enlightening.
Yeah, if you go into Willamette Valley, it takes minutes for you to go, wow, there's a lot going on in here.
Yeah, it's really quite.
What would we do with
maybe
that data?
Next meeting?
If we got a bunch of information, what would we do with it?
Well, we just have to compile it for this, for the discussion face-to-face and the 911 with the management of them, say here's what our community come forward with us. What else could we do?
Use that in conversation with council as well.
Right.
To say the community has this problem. We see this problem. Even the dispatch center sees this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's worth the money or something.
And the information I would like to have before I went to a booth saying, you know, a little sign out, 911 dispatch, you know, questions in there, but I'd like to have the report from them so I had the information.
Right.
So I could talk at least halfway intelligently about
what
it is. But I do think that having them come, give an overview, educate
us. As a starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then going to disseminate it through
might be a great opportunity for recruitment too.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. People signing up to be volunteers.
Or coming in as ride-alongs.
Yeah.
Come and be a committee member. Yeah, instead of just
The WIFM is a really good idea. What's in it for me?
Right? Always. That's the way we operate, all of us.
That's how I respond to stuff.
Yep.
So do you want them to come?
Yes, please.
For May?
Yes, please.
So I will put in the request, again, they're their own agency and they may say June works better, but we'll at least, I'll make the call and our police advisor committee, they'd like kind of just an overview. I'll tell them about some of the conversations that have occurred, let them put together something for you.
I have just one question and it's just a follow-up on the history. When they made the transition, they did take some people from here to there. Are there any Newport people left?
I think there's one.
Really?
Yeah, Becky. Yeah, because we still hear her on the radio.
Now, who is it?
Becky Robinson.
Oh, she's still there?
She's still there, yeah.
Oh, Robinson.
Yeah, she actually, so when they hire new people, they go on a tour, a geographical tour of the area. And so they come to Lincoln County and they go through north and down. And so they always come into our office and we meet the new dispatchers and Becky's always the tour guide.
Oh, great. Oh, that's nice.
Okay, did you write that down so I don't forget?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So we do have a new project, a new old project to get going on. Question for you, Chief, is about the status of the meeting that we're gonna have, like with all the different players regarding the multidisciplinary task force.
So the sheriff and I have chatted a lot about that. And then just it's getting everybody in the same room at the same time. We're also all full into our budget process right now, so it's not the greatest time to meet. We have a couple more meetings. Well, Newport's budget was just published this morning. The proposed budget, I think the county's pretty close to the same timeline. So May and June are pretty busy with that. And then, you know, which gives us our final, how many dollars do we have to deal with type thing. And so I think that definitely still is a good meeting to have, but we can tell you, yeah, I think with more certainty, this is what our funding looks like for the availability. Are we still in that we have money, no bodies? Are we transitioning to bodies, no money? And unfortunately, it's a vicious cycle that we've all seen. Right now, we're riding high still on the money, but we just can't find people to work. So it's still a goal of all of ours. We still all want this. We have a very small baby version of it available now where we have the crisis response available to us, just maybe not to the level we all want. You know, we all want it unconditional, 24 hours a day, unlimited.
Right.
So my best advice there would be let us get through the budget process so we can come back with some more intelligent information.
And when does that start? You'd think I'd remember that.
Now. So the first budget meeting is coming up in May.
That's what I think.
Well, May's the second. They already had their everybody who's going to be there. And then so I think it's by the June meeting, we all should know what our final budget is because they go to all the councils that last meeting in June for whatever you call it, not adoption or
ratifying.
Yep. So timing-wise, it may work out well for possibly the end of June to be able to get the stakeholders.
And Sam will still be invited to that meeting even though he has graduated. Well, it is an important issue. And so Sam's worked really hard on getting that in front of city council. It'd be great if you could be part of the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to be. Just see where we're at after that. I mean, it's really hard to know, I guess, right now.
So, you know, and it could be, I'll double check and maybe get the city attorney's opinion on the resolution where it says Newport High student. You know, is it the minute Sam graduates or is there a transition period between high school and college or, you know?
Does it say current Newport High School student?
I couldn't
tell
you. I
don't think so.
Again, it's open to interpretation. But we didn't think about it when it was written.
Did you graduate from Newport High School?
No.
I was going to say, you're a Newport High School student.
No.
You're just a graduate.
Yeah, once a cub, always a cub, right, Sam?
Yeah, why not?
Well, if not, there's other, you know, positions open where somebody could pop into.
Gosh, I just hate to see us lose people.
Well, worst case, Sam will always be a community member, so.
Right. At large. Okay, we're up to community events.
We've been on fire lately with them, so we had Coffee with the Cop on April 18th, which Mindy came. You guys all missed out on me buying you coffee. But we had about 50 people came through the lobby. The majority of them stopped and talked, and quite a few had lots of questions and tell me about this, and actually made a couple more community partners that I didn't know existed, that a couple invited me to come speak at some events, and which was kind of, I was like, I've never heard of you. Sure, that sounds like fun. Everybody's very friendly, and we had all of our staff, you know, working in the lobby, behind the counter, actually even in the drive-through taking orders and handing out coffee. The sheriff's office sent two of their detectives over, and so they helped. I think we had about 8 of us there. Starbucks was very welcoming. It was a lot of fun. So it was worth it. It was just a quick 2-hour event, but we got to talk to a lot of people and see them in a different light, so that was fun.
Is there a specific day that you usually do it?
Well, we haven't, I hate saying, we haven't done it since pre-COVID. You know, COVID's been, what, 3 years, but we still keep talking about it. Mm-hmm. So it was the last one we did was pre-COVID. And it's something we want to try to do at least annually. Because, you know, it is a big undertaking for Starbucks to open up their doors to us, and they give some free samples and things like that. So, and then, you know, other places want to do it also. And we're like, well, this is our Starbucks, so I think we try to hold a monopoly.
Because it would be nice if it's, I mean, if it happens different days of right. the week or times, that way other people can go.
Yeah, and we can look at that into the future, you know, even another different type of event. Mm-hmm. Maybe we go serve ice cream somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah.
Go serve pizza or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We used to do a thing called Tip-A-Cop. Where we would ultimately like take over a restaurant mm-hmm. for a couple hours, oh, and yeah. it was to raise funds for Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. Very successful. They just, when the people found out what the money was going for, you know, the tips were, mm-hmm. they weren't just the 15% or 20%, and it went for a really good cause, and you had us bumbling over trying to deliver food, and so that's worth its own entertainment in itself. We are not professional wait staff. So, yeah, we will carry one plate at a time. And so that's something, I know those talks are getting again because COVID's, you know, behind us, that because it's a great, great fundraiser for Special Olympics. And we, all of our agencies participate with the law enforcement torch run, which supports Special Olympics. The other event we did, we were invited with Counselor Boteo to do the Cafe Resource event at the Rec Center on the 20th. That was eye-opening for me because I have never really been around mum speakers.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated at the language, for one. Myself, Officer Felix, Officer Parado, and then for the Sheriff's Office, Lieutenant Shanks and Lieutenant Russell, and their admin assistant, Jess Palma, were there. And so the Sheriff's Office talked about the different uniforms they wear, what the cars look like, talked about some emergency management type things, being prepared, stuff like that. And they had an interpreter from, I believe they were affiliated with OSU Extension. They got the interpreters. And then when I spoke, I talked about kind of the same things we talked about when we had our event early 2020, was what to expect when you call the police, why we ask those questions that we ask. Talked a lot about immigration, our involvement or lack of involvement with immigration. And so to begin, and then I had Officer Felix interpreted for me. And it was just because he's just such a nice guy, and he connects really well. And so it was easy as a police officer to relay what I was saying without having to think about the translation and things like that. And it really flowed well. And so we started off with the Spanish-speaking group, and there was probably 30 to 40 people in there and families. And I recognized a lot of them. And there was it was a lot different than the event we had here where there's the audience was a little more standoffish, a little more not sure what's going on. This one, there was smiles, there was head bobbing, there was friendly. A lot of them had been to the original one. And one of the things I asked was, do you feel comfortable in the room? And every one of them said yes. Which, when we asked that 3 years ago, they were all like, no, we don't trust you. They said things like, we feel more a part of our community. We feel more trust in law enforcement. And so, you know, we're like, oh, that's great. And, you know, did it take 3 years to get there? And, you know, are we doing things the right way where the community is now feeling more involved and more accepted? You know, we know there's still more work to do. And then the fire department talked about emergency management and emergency preparedness in the other room, and then we switched. And they had a MUM interpreter, and there was about a dozen people there or so, kids, families, things like that. One of the little boys was absolutely mesmerized by Officer Felix, just would not, you know, and it was fun to watch them. But I would say something in English, and then Alex. Alex would say it in Spanish to the MUM interpreter, then the MUM interpreter would then speak to MUM. And so it was, you know, little telephone telegraph going on. Officer Felix, who's, you know, fluent in Spanish, I asked, I said, do you understand what she's saying? And he said about 5%. Yeah. And it was one of those ignorance parts on me that I didn't realize there was such a difference in the dialect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's trying to just go, oh, well, two foreign languages from Europe, they should be able to talk. You know, and it was good. And they had questions that the first group had 3 years ago. They wanted to know about immigration. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know about, why did police officers do what they do? They want to know about if I go to court. And so it was a neat transition that it took 3 years for this group to feel better about it, but they had those same questions that the MUM group did. And I'd like to think based on that, in 3 years, the MUM group will be more comfortable, mm-hmm. and we'll have another new group that has those same questions. So it gave a lot of validity, I think, to the one we did 3 years ago. And just the very low key, and you know, and so it was good. We all enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And I knew a few of the people that were in the Spanish speaking group, and I know that they speak English really well because I've talked to them. And I was like, you know, I'd ask, I'm like, did Abe do a good job? Did he translate? And they were like, he said word for word everything he did. So he wasn't ad libbing. So it was good. We're glad we did it. We're glad we got to be a part of it. And I know that they're heading up to Lincoln City next month and going to do the same thing. And so Lincoln City Police and the Sheriff's Office is going to participate in that group again and their fire departments. And I know that Beatrice wants to have a round two, a continuation of this, which then we're hoping that maybe we can partner more where the sheriff and I can do that more pointed. And let's go on to that next phase of things that we want to talk about that we didn't get to talk about. Because we just can't keep saying the same thing. And then we have one more event coming up April 30th. This is, I think you guys got the email. You're all invited to at the Armory from 1 to 3. Dia de los Niños and Dia de los Libros. That's him, right? It's Day of the Child, ultimately, Day of the Book. And we partnered with, I got to tell you how this started, is we're sitting around the office talking one day, and I think somebody sees it on the calendar, sees the Dia de los Niños, and we asked Officer Felix about it. And he grew up in Spanish-speaking culture, and, you know, Spanish is his actually native language, English is his second language. And he said, you guys don't know about this? He said, this is the great, if you grow up in a Latino household, this is the greatest, this is like Christmas. And so we said, we can do that. And we called up Laura Kimberly from the library and said, hey, do you want to partner together? And if you want to get something done, call Laura, then get out of the way.
Yeah.
And so she called everybody she knows. Jovita Ballantyne, our CSO, called everybody she knows. This event's going to be big. And I'm a little disappointed it's only 2 hours because they got a ton of people from the community that are going to come, have tables, have giveaways. Laura's ordered a ton of books in Spanish to give away. We have lots of giveaways. We'll have popcorn, drinks. It's going to be fun. And so we'll have our staff there, and Laura will have her staff there. There'll be rec center staff. But there's a lot of community groups, some that we come and join us for National Night Out, but also others that don't. And so it's going to be a big spread, a lot of stuff to do. And it's been advertised very well. And so really hoping that Sunday at 1 o'clock we're just flooded with a bunch of people. Did you tell everybody you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've been sending flyers.
So it'll be fun. And that's for now, I think that's the last one that we have planned until August when we have National Night Out. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have something else. So I know that we've already also partnered, I think, with, I forget the group, but it's from the hospital where they help us with funding for helmets. And so I think I'm still hoping to have helmets available for this event on Sunday to be able to give those to the ones that don't come to National Night Out or the fair and the different events we do.
The hospital foundation here, probably.
Yeah, it's a nurses group. I don't remember.
Oh, it's a nurses group.
Yeah, they're amazing. They are absolutely, they're a great partner to have. Pam is all I know, and boy, I wish I could remember their name. Javita's going to get on me for that. So that's our events.
That's a lot.
So is one of the armory that's coming, help me. There's booths and different organizations going to be there.
Yep.
Giving away stuff.
Yep.
Is that not a place for the police department to have a booth and different things that they have and
you know, recruit and I, Esmeralda and, may have. I mean, so we'll be there giving away all the little things we give away. You know, bracelets and stickers, and everybody likes the little bracelets. Mm-hmm. You know, we're giving away popcorn and food, so that we you know go straight to people's stomachs until you win them over. As far as, and Esmeralda may know better if, you know, because the event is focused on kids and I know they're going to be, you know, their parents are going to be bringing them, if that's the venue or not to be able to address parents to get volunteers to share information, I don't know. Esmeralda would know better if they're so focused on chasing kids around or if they'll be able to stop. And
it's just a question. I always look for opportunity. And that seems like an opportunity.
No, but it's a good opportunity to be giving handouts or information for parents too. But it's more focused on the child.
Sure.
So more primary.
Yeah. And was this a big day?
Games
when you,
and stuff.
When
huh?
you were a kid, was this?
Oh, yeah. And at school, they used to give ice cream and stuff to all the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun.
I know all of our officers were very jealous. They're like, how come we didn't get a day like that?
No, that was a special day because we didn't have any food like over here. So that was very special to get.
Mm-hmm. Nice to have a happy day.
Yes.
Celebration for everybody, these days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To feel celebrated as a kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can go over there if I don't have kids?
Okay. I think everybody's welcome. Yeah.
I don't want to be the creep walking in the door with no kids. Yeah.
Just smile.
Okay.
Just smile.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go check it out.
No, I don't think we'll be like, sorry, you need to go find a kid.
Okay, somebody's child. No.
Right, exactly.
Just don't grab any here.
Yeah. Monthly stats.
I was pointedly directed by Patty to get those and did not do that. My bad. You'll get two of them next time.
Director's report. Then you can say a lot of good stuff, right?
Yeah, so, well, I apologize for not being, what was I doing last time? Oh, I had back surgery. Is that why I wasn't here? Yeah, I had back surgery. I was trying to figure out why I wasn't here.
You don't want to be here.
Yeah, I had other things to do. I was in a recliner thinking, boy, was this a good idea? So, a lot of things going on. We're moving forward with our parking position. We're struggling to fill it. So we had one round of applications that went through and we did not select anybody. And so it closed today and I know we have 9 more applicants. So we will screen those and go through those. And we're just kind of getting down to crunch time because this parking program we went up and running in the summer. If you guys have been following, the city is going with meters on the bayfront and timed and paid and permit parking. And the police department will be the ones monitoring this, and we don't have the staff to do it, so we're hiring a parking person. And we're hoping that's going to be up and running because we have quite a bit of training to, you know, it's you just don't give a ticket, move on. So we have quite a bit of information to share with them, and then we want this person to be instrumental from day one of the city's new parking, so they're the most intimate with it, since they're the ones going to be monitoring it and dealing with the compliance. We're still stuck at 5 police officer openings. We have been stuck here for a really long time.
Build housing.
We just can't even get people to apply. So, you know, we were getting 2-3 applicants here and there, and we'd screen them, go through them, and once we got at least 2 or 3, we'd start our process. Right now, we've been sitting on like 1 applicant for about a month. And because it is very time consuming for us to go through the hiring process, 1 applicant is difficult. And so we have lowered that to, if we can get 2, you know, we'll take the time of what's needed. And so, again, you know, we're not lowering our hiring standard. We have a standard that we know our community and our city wants, and that's what we're maintaining. And so we, you know, not everybody is making it through the process. So, but that means our process is working if we're not taking ones we don't think are going to be good for our community. Recently promoted Aaron Bales to sergeant. He's been with us for about 5 years, K-9 officer. Grew up in Lincoln County, local at Fred Myers for quite a while. So I'm super excited to be able to promote him. He's doing a great job, and we've been running with 2 sergeants for so long. Aaron was an acting sergeant, and then we just made Officer Hallmark an acting sergeant. So we actually have 4 supervised shifts right now, which is, I don't even remember. I'm sure it was pre-COVID. since we blame everything, it was pre-COVID. But that, it just helps us a lot better with having balanced supervision, so we have accountability on the shifts. The lieutenant's able to do the lieutenant's job, I'm able to do my job, and we don't have to just, you know, I don't have to do the lieutenant's job, he doesn't have to do a sergeant job. So that's helping us out a lot. We have 1 officer at the academy, who went this month, just a couple weeks ago, and in 2 weeks, I think we have 2 more going. And so they'll be out for 16 weeks and come back and do 16 weeks of training. So after the summer is all over, when we slow down, we will have hopefully 3 more officers on the street. Still does not give us enough officers for our trigger point for another detective or an SRO or any specialty position. This is just filling the street level police officer positions for balance shifts. Our overtime is ridiculous right now. Our officers are working a ton. We're spending a lot. Fortunately, because we have the openings, we are well overspent on overtime, but it's balanced out with the openings we've had. We did submit our budget, and I saw it today, and I did see that our proposed budget for this year is $500,000 more than last year. That's not my requested. That's what made the cut through the city manager that he is sending to the. The majority of that is personnel expenses. I think personnel expenses have gone up. Will be going up about $300,000, and that's just inflation. So you know the COLA is pretty significant this year. Insurance costs go up. Retirement. It's all in perspective. So what one does, another does. Materials and services did go up a little bit just because it costs more to buy something. Cost more to buy a piece of paper than it did yesterday.
Yep.
So everything's going up. We can't buy cars. We have budget 2-3 years ago. Well, I'm starting to lose pre-COVID. We ordered a car and it was canceled. And so that money continued over. We tried ordering again. Ford canceled that. We ordered 2 electric vehicles that are somewhere. They're not even in production yet, so they're still a thought. And then we have funding for 2 more patrol cars. And the problem is our fleet is getting older by the minute. We've replaced 2 transmissions, an engine. We're getting, you know, and you're like, holy, you know, we spent $8,000 on a transmission, but if that gets us another year on a car, it was worth
that's
it.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, over the $60,000 for a new car. Exactly. So. Yeah, as our staff starts, we're not nervous yet, but when our recruits get out of the academy and get done with training and we have to put them in cars, and then we're trying to figure out who's going to ride with who, that's where we get nervous. So, but you can't make Ford and Dodge make them any quicker. So they have the same issues everybody else does, supply, labor.
You guys are unionized, aren't you?
Patrol and records are our supervisors. So sergeants, Patty, lieutenant, myself are not a member of the association. Yep. And they settled their contract here recently. Actually, right before, I think, inflation blew up. And so they settled their contract, I think, for the COLA being at 2.2 and 2, which is historic for years. The city manager actually went back to the table and offered them 5% the first year and then up to 5% in years 2 and 3, which was, that was a great move on the city manager's part. And our staff were like, okay, we feel valued. We didn't ask and he came and offered, so.
That's awesome.
But with that is, you know, I think the city's looking at a possibility of a 5% COLA in July, and that's expensive. So it's a gift that keeps on giving. Patty, is there anything else I said I was going to tell anybody?
Not that I can think of. Just what you handed out.
The active, yeah.
Yeah. So this, Patty said when you guys had had a question or you wanted to chat about this, I gave you our policies on these. And I think I've talked about before, you know, with active shooter, we're pretty pointed in how we deal with that. I really wasn't going to give you the playbook on how we do it because it's kind of a secret. But ultimately is, you know, if you've watched things on TV, how they've unfolded, Uvalde is not the way we train, not the way we plan on responding. The most recent one, forgot the state, is how we all train and how we respond. Huh?
Louisville was how they do it?
Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah.
There's a threat and our job is to end that threat as quick as possible so nobody else gets hurt. They did absolutely textbook by the way the majority, because the federal government came in a while ago and started training everybody. We want a national standard. A lot of things are state standards, a lot of things are local. Active shooter is really a federal response. And so we kind of all train the same way and have the same theory that our job is to get in and end a threat as quick as possible. So our Lincoln County School District, we work great with. We've increased our ability to get into the schools. So working with them at their expense, they purchased knock boxes that are long. This fire has always had them. So they use a special key, opens a box, and then it's a master key to get in. We don't want ours on the front door because it's very rare we go in the front door unless we have to. So ours are on different doors. But all of our staff, it's actually occurring here over the next few days, is being issued keys to all of those. So every officer in Newport will have that key and access to it. So we all have key cards, which gets us into a lot of doors, but they don't get us into all the doors. So Lincoln County School District, I can't say enough on their preparedness, you know, in working with us and sharing information and making sure there's just a lot of things going on with the district. So I know that Sam probably is more comfortable if he hears code red than he was 10 years ago, because it's beat into them like a fire alarm was beat into the rest of us. So unfortunately, they have to deal with code red, code yellow, fire alarm. Is it real? Is it a drill? I don't have a lot to say about active shooter. I know we're getting ready to do active shooter training within the city, just because we have so many new personnel. And the feds do a great job through, if you guys have ever taken any of the FEMA courses, ICS 100, 200, things like that, the NIMS courses, if that's familiar with anybody. They have one, I think it's 902, which is Run, Hide, Fight. It's an active shooter program. It is a great job. And that's literally what you do, you know, if you are... find yourself, you're going to do one of three things: run, hide, or fight. And that's the message we deliver to people, and we just talk about specifically if you're in this building what would happen. We did this a few years ago and found out a lot of loopholes and weaknesses at the library, and then the city came through, spent the money needed to make this facility more secure. So that's why we do those. We want to make sure we don't want it to happen, but if it is, we want our staff prepared. And then our use of force, we call it force response because it's ultimately that's what we're doing, is we're responding to another person's force. We don't start it, they do, and then we deliver the appropriate amount of force, the minimum amount of force to deal with the situation. As you can see, this is a much thicker, very inclusive, very detailed policy. But it is, this is pretty much our roadmap and guidelines that if we are involved in a use of, in delivering force, what our responsibility is. It's not just delivering force and walking away. We still have to render aid, you know, we still have requirements. You know, the force that we use has to be the minimum amount of force to get the job done. So that's pretty much what 10 pages say. But if anybody has questions about either.
No, this is a really.
I would only suggest that everybody read it over and then if there's questions, we bring it to next week.
And if you have, and if you're like the wonder, like I've always wondered, email Patty and then she'll get them to me so I can come and maybe answer it instead of waiting a month. You know, you ask the question, because most of the things I'll probably answer, but every once in a while, if I want to research it or make sure I'm delivering the right thing, I'm going to be like, you want to wait a month? So, but I think it's a little easier if it's fresh in your mind, then I can get it to you a little quicker. Or even deliver you policies or best practices, whatever it may be.
This is so handy. I mean, if we're at a booth and stuff. I love having this.
And our entire policy manual, it's not a secret. It's 800 and some pages, and it's all online. You know, you can go look at anything you want.
But picking out the ones that are really relevant, you know, these two are just great. People do ask about this.
Right.
Are there topics you want Chief Malloy to talk about next month?
Everybody looking at me.
You're the leader.
You've got the gavel.
Yeah, Sam, your last month.
That's what I'm going to ask.
Your last month.
This might be your last month.
I don't know. I mean, these ones are really important. And then the ones we got, I don't know, probably like 3 months ago now about mental health crisis. I was actually reading over one of those today. Those are the things that are the most interesting and potentially, you know, divisive to me. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to our visitors if they can make it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe send suggestions to you.
Yep. Please. Send anything you have to Patty.
Okay.
One of the things that by reading the Oregonian, I saw that the legislature passed. Well, I'm not sure the legislature passed, one of the houses did, making speed lights statewide as opposed to the key cities that it's been awful in. Has Newport looked at that, or is that something Newport will look at for speed control? Or
Newport's looked at red light cameras
yeah.
In the past, and there is a statute that allows for red light cameras. We did a study. Came up with extremely disturbing amounts of violations and how much revenue would, I was shocked at the over, you know, $1 million of revenue that red light cameras would generate. The council, while there was a big concern over 101 and 20 and red light safety and pedestrian safety, then it was it a bigger concern of the image we would portray for visitors coming to Newport?
Yeah, that's what.
So, I think it turned out that we did not qualify based on accident history, crash history at those locations.
That's what you reported last time.
But speed cameras, this is a council, it's a complete council decision on whether they would want something like that. Are they effective? Absolutely. You know, anybody that's gone through one, they know the big flash. So I don't know. I don't think that's new. So I know it has gone through, and I do know that the Chiefs Association, the Sheriff's Association, I'm a member of the Governor's Advisory Committee on DUI. All three of those groups supported it. All provided testimony on supporting the speed cameras to statewide. So, and I looked through it. I didn't see a lot of criteria that we wouldn't meet. So.
The concern was what the visitor would think about?
Well, I think it was, you know, because we are a very tourist-based community, and if, you know, there was thousands of red light tickets written at 101 and 20, how would that look to type thing. And I'm not speaking for the council, just being in the meetings, that was one of the things they said, is this the image we want to portray come to Newport?
Get a ticket.
50.
Go home.
Yeah, so, you know.
Or don't speed.
Well.
I've gone one mile over, you know, a couple times. Then I come to my senses.
Yeah, those, I mean, you set them all, and, you know, you can have that it's 10 miles an hour, you get a ticket at 5 miles, one, you know, depends what it is. But we also, I wouldn't think we're just going to throw one here and see how it works. It's, do we have the history there? Do we have the safety issues, the crash data? You know, are we writing unlimited tickets that we just can't keep up with? There's a lot of factors I would think the city would look at. I'd hope the city would look at.
That brings up a good question for me. So we have beacons, crosswalk beacons, and there's one by the Verizon store. Those lights get turned somehow, whereas sometimes when you hit that button, I can't, I almost got hit today. I don't even know if people see those. I mean, how do they get turned on that pole?
The problem is, I think everyone on 101's been crashed into.
Oh. Like, there's a median there, too, and so it's like.
That doesn't matter. They
okay.
Yeah. No, we have some spectacular pictures. There's some that we're like, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And they belong to ODOT. They don't belong to the city. And so we report to ODOT, and then ODOT is the one that has to fix it. There's funding involved, things like that. There's crews involved. You know, could somebody be up there messing with it? You never know.
So the wind is strong here, maybe.
Yeah, but if we see those, you know, we report if there's issues with them. Every once in a while, one doesn't work. So we call ODOT. Same thing with if a stoplight or a
flashing
crosswalk. No, just the stoplights. If the, you know, those aren't working, we have zero way of fixing those. There's a crew that comes out of Salem.
Are they pretty responsive?
Very responsive. Okay. Yeah, they have ODOT has a crew. That's all they do is they respond to the red lights.
So who do you file a complaint with? Who is a consumer? Who do I tell?
You tell anybody in the city, pretty much. Okay. So if we get the complaint, we tell engineering or planning. They're the ones that have that direct contact and worked with them to get them set here. I don't even know who to call. Except them. Guys on the corner.
Okay. Let's call somebody and see.
Tell somebody and say, this light's broke.
Well, it's not broken. It's terrible.
I don't see any public here. I had one committee comment. Is it Lieutenant Gaynor? Mm-hmm. I get confused with the titles. But when he was here, he was talking. I'm here representing dispute resolution. That's my position on the committee. So when he was here, he was talking about back in the day, there were cards that officers and city people, whoever, would hand out to people about the possibility of mediation and all the things that could be mediated, you know, from a barking dog to whatever. And so we still have those cards, and I wonder if, you know, if the department would be interested in those to hand out again.
Yeah. We would have to go back and dig out, like, the policy or the directive we had. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But I know we did hand up. Well, it seemed like all the neighbors, nobody got along for the longest time, and they weren't police issues. You know,
right.
It was, your tree is growing over my side of it, and you right. call the police, and we're like, true.
Sorry.
I don't know what you'd like me to do. Or just neighbors that did. A lot of it was neighbors. Neighbor type things. And we had, you know, kind of a directive of when we would hand those out, because we had to make sure we're handing them out, you know, instead of doing a criminal investigation. We're like, here you go.
Right.
Let Mindy work out your theft.
Right.
So we would just have
call Mindy.
We'd have to work that out. But no, absolutely. Because it's a resource for
it's
us.
A
and,
resource, yeah.
You know, our officers get tired of going to the same house because a dog's pooping in the yard type thing, or, you know, something like that. It is a using a lot of valuable time.
Yeah.
And so if we have another option, and we can't make anybody do it, everybody had to be willing participants to try to work it out.
Sometimes people that are complaining a lot just want to be heard.
Right.
You know. When Chief Miranda was here, we talked about having possible mediations between a complainant and the officer. You know. between the two of them, so the officer can say, hey, this is what I can do, I can't do, and then, you know, the complainant can say, oh, but, you know, I've called 20 times and you haven't done anything, sort of thing, just for facilitated discussion between the two of them, so they can understand, and you know, that's a possibility too.
Yeah, because nowadays those generate complaints. I get a call, I called, your officer refused to do anything, and when I check into it, our officer didn't refuse, there was nothing he could do. You know, they gave you other options and you didn't like any of them. So, you know, that does work. We have a big toolbox, but it does not solve everything.
Right.
So yeah, if you have those, we will resurrect it and make it another tool.
Well, that's something we as the committee could hand out.
Sure.
Call Mindy.
Yeah, just make sure we're up and running before you do that.
Other comments from anybody? Important things on your mind? Adjourn then.
This is a great meeting, by the way.
Well, there's a comment.
Sam, do you need any info or anything to deliver to the school? You got everything you need?
I just talked to Ms. Murphy and I got one of these and I'll pick up a couple more.
And do you need anything to help recruitment?
Yeah, if I can get the flyer, if you can send it to my email, might be easier.
Do you want the hard copy? I brought a few. You can take them all.
Well, if you email it, then she can email it out.
That way, for the ones that I don't see close.
Do you want just this version?
Both, please. Yes.
You gonna be there Sunday?
Sunday, yes.
Come on.
Take my son, yeah. I can.
Nice. How old's your son?
5.
Oh, so it's perfect for him.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah, I'm into a bunch of them. I don't know yet. I have to make. But it's.
Keep on Thursday.
I know. Last minute.
Well, it can be anything. I mean. Yeah. No, we used to get toys and
Sam, you gonna wait till that last second and pick your school?
Yeah.
What's your front runner?
It's between UW and UC Santa Cruz and San Jose.
Exciting. Is your mom okay if you be that far away?
Yeah.
She encouraging it. She's like, no, Sam, further.
I don't know. I encouraging it, but I, you know.